Is it finally too late to say that it's still early for the Minnesota Twins? They are not doing well, guys. It's really not going well. They are 6-11 as of right now. And at 6-11 in the Target Field era since 2000, only a total of 30 teams have started a season 6-11. Just two of those teams, the 2015 Texas Rangers and the 2021 New York Yankees, made the playoffs. Only eight of those teams finished with a losing record. Eight of those 30 teams managed a winning record, excuse me. They are missing some very, very big pieces to the puzzle here. Royce Lewis, Duran, some massive pieces to the puzzle. However, this team's not good. I mean, like, this is – they're hitting 193 as a team through 17 games. The team in the majors that's in the lead, Atlanta, is batting 292. And I know that Duran may be close to coming back, but from what I saw, I think yesterday, basically Royce Lewis is – like starting to lightly walk. I mean, he's not coming back super soon. And my whole thing here is that these injuries, not to mention, Carlos Santana has woefully underperformed. Not that I had a whole lot of expectation for him. I think it's now too late to say it's still too early. Where are you at?
I'm right there with you. I think that the problem is this. It's not like there's a specific side to this whole thing where we say, yeah, but you know what? They just need to get the pitching kind of working and everything. It's a little bit of everything, right, Dave? I mean, yeah. when you look at it, okay, the last nine games, we've lost six of them. We gave up 39 runs in those six losses. So yeah. Pitching, not looking so great. Then you look on the bat side, and you were just talking about it. I mean, we're at the very bottom. Well, we're not the exact bottom. We're 29 out of 30 when it comes to batting average.
Thank goodness for number 30.
We've got 17 home runs so far this year. I mean, when you look across at all the various numbers, you're like, well, we're having a hard time with our pitching. Now we're having a hard time with our bats. And, you know, it's why we find ourselves exactly where we are. And that's the problem. Now, it is still relatively early, let's be honest.
It
takes at some point, something has got to change. Something's got to break, so to speak. And the Twins are looking for it. Mm-hmm. And I know they're looking for it with the food that they're offering. But this is more than about the food. It's more about, hey, what's going to bring us to the next level where we are seeing the ball better from the batting side of it? And let's be honest, the pitching was an area that I actually kind of felt like, you know what, this looks pretty strong for us this year. It's not been that way at all yet.
Yeah.
I mean, and the Twins are 7-12, by the way, I should say that. Yeah. 6-11
yep,
or 7-12.
Put that in there. I mean, multiple things are true, guys. It is still very early. It is absolutely early. It's still cold out. The ball is not flying as well. I'm not blaming that because they're not making contact either. That's the bigger issue. So it is still very early, but that does not discount that there are serious concerns. There are absolutely serious concerns that need to be figured out, whether it's mental, whether it's physical, whatever it may be. Those things need to happen sooner than later because it is early, but it's not going to be early for that much longer. As far as pitching goes, it's fine. It has been middle of the pack as far as MLB averages, which should get you enough wins if you're hitting the ball. But that's the big issue is the hitting and making contact and. I'll go with you guys here. The striking out. There are serious concerns with the way that these guys are taking at bats. Is that a philosophy team wise, or is that just individual players just all being in an absolute bad place?
We'll see.
yeah, we'll have to see what that is. If it doesn't turn around relatively soon, then we're going to be able to really start to look at these guys badly.
If it was close, I mean, if the runners in scoring position average wasn't 144, I mean, that's not – there's not one guy. Royce Lewis doesn't change that much. I just – that's what – they're not – even if Royce Lewis was there and playing well, that still doesn't change that number all that much. It still doesn't change it. Willie Castro – Granted, you know, Willie Castro's over 14. Carlos Santana over 12 with runners in scoring position. There's ways to lose baseball games that are encouraging, and there's ways to lose baseball games that are not encouraging. And not taking advantage of guys when they're on the base path is not encouraging, because that's not that that is a Charlie, as you said, that is a that's a that's an approach problem. That's how are you approaching this at bat? How are you looking at these pitches? What are you deciding to take the swings on? How are you doing that? That's an approach problem. That's a mindset. That's not physical issues. That's not one guy coming back. That's why this really bothers me so much. And I just think that at this point, again, you're 7-12. I get it. But it's going to get away from you really fast. And you're already four games behind Cleveland. And excuse me, seven games behind Cleveland. I was looking at the wrong column. Seven games behind Cleveland. Still early, but that at the quicker with this season starts to go, the harder it is to make up that number.
Yeah, well, you're right in many ways. The one silver lining here, the biggest silver lining that there is, we've watched this team. We've watched the bats. They're bad. They've been bad at bats all season long. And yet, even when you say that, you say they're 29th out of 30th. They're 28th out of 30th. Well, you know who 30th out of 30th is in all of those categories? Hitting.
I'm going to guess the White Sox.
All of them.
White
the Sox. Chicago White Sox. Do you know who the Twins play seven times in the next 10 days? The Chicago White Sox. So it could turn around pretty quickly.
Good point.
And in between there, mind you, it's the Los Angeles Angels, who are not exactly a world beater either. So there is a big opportunity here. I think in the next 10 days, you're going to see whether this team is going to be able to claw back or not. Because if they can't beat the White Sox at least five out of those seven games, then you're going to be saying, oh, man, this could be long season.
This is the Battle of the Titans. And we're going to see who's actually at the top of this whole thing. But, Charlie, it's funny that you even brought that up, because I was looking at it thinking there's one good thing. One good thing is Chicago's terrible. They're the one team worse than us. And we get to play them. So, but you're right. Now, here's the bad side of that. What if the Sox come alive and we don't? I mean, and that's a possibility. So that could get ugly in a hurry. Then all of a sudden there is room for panic, I think, because this is sort of a measuring stick at some point of, okay, who's really the worst? And if we end up on the wrong side of this one, that could get pretty ugly. By the way, last year, and I know you said it already, Charlie, but last year we talked about strikeouts, you know, that being a problem. They were basically number one for most of the season. They're still in the top 10. And so that the bats, they just can't seem to get that going. And it's, you know, the combination of the
batting average. It's an approach thing. Yep.
Yeah, I think so too. I have to think that there's got to be something to it where I'm not saying it's an easy fix. I just think that you could improve on it. And I'm not the baseball guy, but somehow the coaching is not right. If this were football and you're looking at quarterbacks that are always throwing the ball above the receiver's head, something has to change, right? I mean, somebody has to go in there and make a change. And that's what we're seeing with all these strikeouts, and this is year two of it.
Yeah, there's definitely frustration there, and it very well could be approach. It could be a lot of different things with what is happening. Mind you, we already talked about the injuries just reported now. Do Young Park saying that Joan Duran is going to be starting a rehab assignment in AAA Tuesday. Max Kepler already added to the AAA St. Paul roster, so that's two guys that are on their way back and you hope are able to help sooner rather than later.
I know we've talked about this before, but and to your point, Charlie, that they have a series coming up here with the White Sox, two games with the Angels, and another series with the White Sox. We forget sometimes that these guys don't operate in a vacuum. As much as they try to create that in their world, it's not a vacuum. These guys know their stats. These guys know that it's not going well. And what happens when you get up to bat and you are 0-for-12 with runners in scoring position? You're trying like heck to make sure you get contact with that ball.
You're pressing.
You're gripping the bat hard. You know, you're getting aggressive. Right. And that mindset, it creeps in. And I think that's important. And I'm not making excuses, but I do think that there's some truth to this. If they get this series with the White Sox and they start getting a couple timely hits, I think we could absolutely be looking next week at a very different position of where this Twins team is going. But that's if. As of today, as of Sunday, April 21st, I am a little concerned with where the Twins are at 7-12. Now, we can talk again next Sunday, and maybe I'll say, you know what, I was being panicky and everyone's just fine. But, you know, is there cause for concern? This is a very pivotal week already in the season, I think, for them. And I don't think that's – you can underscore that too much.
Yeah, it's really make or break. It is. I think either way you look at it
– as much as it can be in April.
We're going to have a very different view of this team week and a half from today. How these next 10 games go against these very bad teams – are they above that, or is it going to be a really long season? We're going to know that pretty soon.
And are those teams thinking the same thing looking at us?
Yep.
Right?
Probably so.
There's two sides to that whole thing.
Where are you at with this? Give us a call or a text on the Stiles Financial Talk and Text Line, 651-461-9226. Your level of concern right now going into – obviously, they play today, and then they get a series with the White Sox coming up after that. What's your concern level for our good old Minnesota Twins? We will take a break and come back. Coming up next, we're going to talk about some of the things going on over the Gopher football spring practices, some exciting signings this week as well. We'll talk about all that coming up next. You're listening to The Huddle on 830 WCCO. And it's time for our Gopher football update. Peter, pretty exciting stuff going on down in Dinkytown. Yeah. A couple big signings this week for the Gophers. I know we have Steve on the line who is very excited to talk about some Gopher football. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, a couple good signings there, but let's keep things in perspective. I know Pete can do this. Now, at the end of the day, when Rivals and 24/7 come out with their rankings, you know, before the season for the 25 class, I'd be shocked if Oregon, Washington, SC, Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State aren't ahead of them. So we got to keep things relative.
That's true.
Wisconsin and Iowa have proven they can develop players equal or better than the Gophers. That being said, Pete, we'll do this again in late August, but let's go through it real quick. Now that spring, I know Fleck likes to keep things kind of under the hood of the car. Doesn't show a lot. Right.
I love this.
But, okay, first three games.
Are we breaking down the schedule in April?
Quick though.
Okay.
North Carolina, Rhode Island, and Nevada. I think you and I can agree those are three wins.
Those are wins. They are wins.
Okay. Here's the fourth game. Iowa and that defense that's just as loaded, other than Cooper DeJean coming up to the bank. What do you got?
You know what? I actually like – when I was over at Spring Ball a while ago, 2 weekends ago, it was I walked away far more impressed than I would have been. So I'm going to say that's a win for us. And I say that because I think our O-line's different. Obviously, we're different at quarterback, whomever it might be. I think it'll be Brosmer, of course. But, you know, that Drake Lindsey looked pretty damn good. So I think that we have a team that can beat Iowa early.
Okay, that's where I differ. If Cade McNamara is healthy – and they've got Caleb Brown, that wide receiver transfer, four-star from Ohio State. Plus, they got the tight end who's a stud, healthy. Iowa's defense, and they got another punter who's off the charts. So that's where we're first different. Okay. At Michigan.
Right. Yep. Oh, that one, unfortunately, I'm probably going to chalk a loss up on that one.
USC at home.
We can beat USC. I think the Pac-12 is weaker than people think. I think they're all great. Obviously, you know, USC, UCLA, Washington, Oregon, great teams, but now they're in the Big Ten. This ain't the Pac-12, so they're going to stumble along the way. They just lost their quarterback. They've lost quite a few different players. I think the Gophers beat USC.
Okay, I've got a loss. I think you're going to have to outscore USC with their coach. That's going to be hard to do. At the Rose Bowl, we're back there since Jack Kennedy in 62, UCLA.
You know, isn't it interesting that their head coach left to become a coordinator? The whole thing is crazy for me with UCLA right now. They lost a lot of talent from a team that was pretty damn good last year. So I'm going to say that's another one that we could win. I'm more up and down on that one, but I'll say we win that game. Tough trip, though.
Okay, I agree. You got six wins so far. We got a week off. We got Maryland at home.
Win. That's a win. I'm not impressed by that team as much. Yeah, okay. They lost their quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. At Illinois, we win that game.
That's a loss. Bielema has had Fleck. He's developed a great offensive and defensive line. And that's going to be a tough beat. Rutgers with the Shiano.
I think we go right. We know the quarterback. I think we win.
Okay.
And we pick him off three
another
times.
Another week off. Another week off. Penn State coming to town.
We drop that game.
And at Wisconsin.
I love that coach. I really do. And it's always tough. I think we probably stumble there as well. Do we lose?
Okay. I've got 5-7. I think you might have 7-5.
I thought I almost got to 8.
I mean, you got 8-4. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Wow.
That's not bad.
Did you want to know my picks? Or you? Okay. Whatever Pete says, I'm going to go
again. There you go. This kid from the small high school that they got recruited, I think he was a 4 or 5 star, talented kid. Mm-hmm. But let's face it, he's no Cooper DeGene. On that note, we'll see. I'm smelling probably 6-6. I did 5-7, but I think they'll go 6-6. We'll revisit this in August, and you guys have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you.
I look forward to that. Thank you, Steve.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve. Go for it.
On that note, though, Dave, here's what I like. The Gophers are really building something up over there. And a lot of the credit people are giving, and they deservedly sounds like it, they should be, to Coach Debo, who at some point, hopefully we can get him on here with us, former player, great Gopher, and a wonderful guy, and he's doing an amazing job recruiting. But I'll tell you what, we got a 4-star offensive tackle from Wisconsin. We've got a 3-star from North Dakota, D-tackle. I mean, across the board, how about that Jackson Colick kid that we got? I know that you were following that one, Charlie, a 2025 recruit.
Yeah, Laguna
Beach. And Petaway, 2025 recruit. But Coy Parrish, you've got Mo Sane, you've got Jackson Howard.
Jackson Howard, yep. Oh, I love that pick this week.
Leaving LSU. And 4 years. He's got 4 years left.
Yeah.
And then how about the – you mentioned the receiver from Andover. Great player, big body. Emmanuel Carmo, edge guy, 2025, another Robbinsdale kid. I'm really excited about what I'm seeing in the offseason for the Gophers. And some of those guys, actually, we saw them in the spring, and they did look impressive. They looked great, but that's spring football, so I'm not going overboard with that.
Yeah.
But they look good.
You know, Pete, I agree. I think it's as good as I can remember in the off-the-field stuff at this point with Jackson Howard and the recruits and Coy Parrish. The top player in the state, 3 years running, Parrish, Howard, and Carmo are all going to be Gophers. That's got to be the first time that's happened in a long time, particularly when they're all 4-star or above. It's very exciting. But, Pete, it comes down to, and this is just the way that the game works today,
it comes down to
the quarterback.
That's what I was just going to ask.
Is it going to hit on the quarterback? Is it going
I think
to
we
be,
got him.
Yeah, is but it you going can't, to be those guys?
I don't think you can really predict. I truly don't think you can predict a season without seeing your starting quarterback play a game. Because it's such a huge difference, Pete. That you say 7-8-4, let me go 8-4. But if Brosmer or Drake Lindsey are amazing and really able to carry this team with what else they have, the defense brings back a lot of really great players from last year and added some more. You know that a good quarterback is the difference between 8-4 and 4-8, if not more.
Yep.
You know, I just don't think you can accurately predict at this point.
You're 100% right. I'm just going off of the little bit that I saw as they were throwing the ball in practice, which is not fair. It's not fair to judge the whole season on that. But to see two quarterbacks that looked the way they both looked athletically, and we know that Brosmer, I mean, this guy, he's got 1 year. It's going to be with us, right?
Yeah.
And so he's got experience. Now, I've never heard of New Hampshire football, but let's be honest. but that being said, he looked the part. And I thought Drake Lindsey looks the part as well because physically he's a menacing-looking guy. 6'5", 2 1/4. That's a good – and he's got a nice big arm. I thought a lot about that kid, and I love the fact that we went out and went for another quarterback. We're not afraid to go to edge guys and quarterbacks, and if we can get enough of that on this team, we are very, very competitive in the Big Ten.
And just to clarify my point here, what I was saying is I'm not Steve, thank you, Steve, for the call, kind of scoffed when you said, you're 8-4. But I don't, you know, I wouldn't do that. I don't, you know, to your point, you've seen this guy play. He's game ready. I don't think, I think it's impossible to say that they couldn't be 8-4, depending on what this kid can do.
The you know, and so I just, there, right?
Yeah, scoffing at anything without knowing what your quarterback is, to your point, Charlie, I don't think you can do it.
Yeah, it's that's just the way that modern football is. College football less so, but you got to have somebody that can at least respect throwing the ball so that the defense can load the box.
And we've got some receivers, guys. We even got this kid out of Clearwater, Florida down here who's another big, strong, fast receiver as well. Dallas Sims is his name. We've got players. So I'm not worried about our talent level. It's a matter of now putting them into a position to win, and that's up to the coaches.
And they're getting these guys after a year that really didn't go very well for them. So I think that says a lot about them as well. We'll take your calls and texts on the Stiles Financial Talk and Text Line coming up next, 651-461-9226. And we'll start our last half hour of NFL Draft Talk. We'll talk about the draft next, and then 11:45, Joe Alt is going to join us to talk about what this week looks like for him, potential top five pick in the NFL Draft coming up this weekend. You're listening to The Huddle on 830 WCCO. Quick reminder to you, in about 10 minutes, Joe Alt is going to join us. So if you have any questions, send them to us on the Stiles Financial Talk and Text Line, 651-461-9226. We've got a couple of texts going all the way back to Timberwolves talk today. Pete, we'll roll through these really, really quickly. I would say Anthony Edwards over Garnett just because Edwards compares to Kobe Bryant.
Yep.
I respect it. That's a pretty big swing, but I respect it. Hi, Dan. The way Ant responds to Durant on Tuesday is key. Durant will want to prove Ant can't do it for more than one game. Durant will want to dominate the game, which, I mean, other than calling me Dan, I'm all good with that. I don't disagree with any of that. Let's see. I agree 100% with Dave regarding Brock Faber. He should but won't win the Rookie of the Year. He played very well while playing huge minutes at a tough position. NFL draft question, Angela in North Minneapolis asks, Pete, does a team ever draft a great player that they don't need in order to keep that player away from competition?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Because my initial thought was no way, but right. I guess you'd know more than I do.
I think there are times where I've seen it within our own division where it's not somebody they really needed, but they know that somebody else did. They'll jump in front. Yes.
All right.
I've seen it happen.
Interesting. Another texter. I've never understood the opinion of I've never understood the opinion of Twins management and coaches that losing a few games at the beginning of the season is not a big deal because it's a long season. If you miss the playoffs by one game, what's the difference if you lose that game at the beginning of the season or at the end of the season? Okay. Number one, Twins management and coaches do not they do not think that losing a few games at the beginning of the season isn't a big deal. We should also say that we are not Twins managers and coaches. Some of us may think it's not a big deal. I do think it's a big deal. And I think, what you hear from managers and players in post-game press conferences is as much about strategy as making sure that people are still in on the team, that fans are still in on the team, that they're still giving themselves a chance, as it is actual real thought. Okay, they're not going to get up there and say, and Rocco Baldelli's not going to get interviewed and go, well, listen, guys, we're 7-12. We stink. Our guys cannot get a guy around the bases. We cannot make connections with the ball to save our life. Our best player's gone. We're screwed. He can't say that. He just can't. Because his players will quit on him. He'll probably get fired. Tickets won't sell. All that stuff. You know, it's as much about real thought as it is about playing the PR game when it comes to what these guys are saying after a game.
I agree with you, Dave. I mean, it's a whole process. Anyway, do you have any more?
Yeah.
No?
Oh. No, that's it, buddy. I'm good.
Oh, all right.
That's
hey,
it.
Hey, real quick on the draft.
Let's talk draft.
We got Joe Alt coming on next after this break. But before that, it's amazing to me to see how many quarterbacks are there, right? I mean, and we continue to see that. Now there's four in the top six with J.J. McCarthy going up towards the Giants. That's the latest that I've seen. What do you think about this, Dave? Who's going to be the bust? Is it Caleb Williams? Is it J.J. McCarthy? Is it Drake May? I'm a big believer in Jaden Daniels, by the way. Huge believer in him. So I don't know, but I'll tell you what. Go ahead.
I'm going to stick with what I've said because it's what I've said, so I'll stick with it. But I'm just not in on J.J. McCarthy. I'm not really in on Drake May either, except I think that – I feel like North Carolina leaned more on Drake May and what he could do than Michigan had to lean on J.J. McCarthy, mm-hmm. right? I mean, like, North Carolina needed Drake May. They had to have him play well. Michigan – had Blake Corum. They had other great, you know, great talent on I mean, obviously they're national champions. But, you know, so that idea that, excuse me, he's going to come into an offense that anywhere that's probably going to need some more pieces to it because they're picking high in the draft. So I don't want to call J.J. McCarthy a bust, but I'm going to stick with it. I just think that this is people blowing smoke to try to get guys in different draft position. I just don't think people, actual NFL coaches, scouts, are as high on J.J. McCarthy as media reports want to make us think. That's only my opinion. I don't have inside information on this. It's just my opinion.
I got a quickie for Charlie. Charlie, because I know we're going to break in a second. At number 11, do you go quarterback? Do you go cornerback, or do you go edge rusher? We still got the 23rd pick.
Yeah,
what would you do?
I think it obviously depends on how the draft board falls the actual night of somebody's down there. But my real answer is none of the above, Pete. I would go with one of the big defensive tackles, Johnny Newton out of Illinois or Byron Murphy II out of Texas. I think both of those guys are absolute studs, and I think they bring that Aaron Donald center pass rush that you're really looking for, especially with the 3-4 scheme that I know you hate it, Pete, but it is what it is right now, and they are able to bunch up that middle, and the Vikings just don't really have that right now.
Right. I like it. I like it.
Well, I sure wish our next guest would be available, but he's probably not going to be. Joe Alt from Notre Dame is going to join us next. A lot of people are saying that he might get picked in the top six, definitely in the top 10. Fantastic offensive tackle out of Notre Dame. He's going to join us next. You're listening to The Huddle on 830 WCCO.
All right, Dave, we are back, and we have our great guest with us, Joe Alt. For the people who don't know Joe, Joe's from the Twin Cities. He's Northeast Minneapolis kid out of Totino High School. He's only a little shade underneath 6'9" and 325 pounds, played at Notre Dame, was a left tackle that I watched him from the game he started at Virginia Tech throughout his career. Probably the best offensive tackle I've seen, maybe even better than his dad, who happens to be in the Ring of Honor at Kansas City. I'm not sure which guy might be better. Your dad was a monster. I played against him in high school. I played against him in college when he was at Iowa, at Minnesota. He was at the Chiefs, and I bounced around. So I knew your dad really well, and I didn't like him. So he's a very big, menacing guy who's really, really good. Probably the best offensive lineman I ever faced. Joe, you're going to be in Minnesota for the draft. Tell us a little bit about that. Why will you be in Minnesota, not Detroit? And I know how close you and your dad are. Your dad's coached and everything else, and you've probably watched his film. So why are you in Minnesota? And then secondly, are you better than your father?
I'll start with the second one. My dad is one of the best players I've watched in film and really have learned so much from him. So I am not going to say I'm better than my father. There's obviously his accolades speak for themselves. He was a heck of a player, and I've loved watching him as I've grown up. So, you know, I'm not going to say I'm better than him. He's definitely better than me at this point, but obviously striving to be the best I can be. But at this point, my dad's definitely better than me. But with the draft, I decided to stay at home. Family's really important to me, and it would have been a tough decision for me to, you know, pick who I would have brought. I have four other siblings, and they're all married and have kids and getting babysitters and whatnot. I just wanted all the people who are really close to me and, you know, show gratitude, and the people who have supported me throughout this, you know, this journey. I want them all to be there, my close friends and family. So that's kind of what the reasoning behind staying at home was.
Joe, Dave Schwartz here. Thank you for joining us this morning, and congratulations on what this week is going to bring for you and your family. I'm curious, as a young man and as this draft really kind of ramps up in the next couple of days, are you the kind of person, the kid who does think about all this stuff? I mean, there's a lot to read if you want to, and to listen to if you want to, or do you just kind of put it out of your mind and say, wherever I'm going to go, I'm going to go, and when that time comes, I'll worry about it then.
Yeah, I'm an anxious person by nature, so, you know, usually I'd be super stressed about this kind of stuff, but with this one, you know, the way I feel about it is I've, you know, put my best foot forward with, you know, three seasons at Notre Dame, put my best foot forward at the combine and with my, you know, post-combine interviews. So for me, you know, it's mostly just gratitude and excitement here coming up on Thursday. You know, wherever I go, I can't wait to, you know, join the new team, join the new city. So for me, I don't look at a ton of the, you know, the stuff out there on the social media. I kind of stay just doing my thing, and whatever happens, happens, and I just can't wait for the next step.
And for those that don't really follow it as close as I do, by the way, Joe was the number one offensive tackle at the combine when you put together all the numbers of what he did and what he accomplished. So that's one of the reasons he's going to be going maybe top five or six for sure. So very interesting. Did you get a chance to talk to Jim Harbaugh or Brian Callahan? I bring up those names because Harbaugh's obviously with the Chargers. They're number five. Titans are number seven with Brian Callahan. Obviously, you talk to all the different coaches over time, but is there something that you kind of looked at there in their eyes that you kind of felt like, you know what, this guy's the guy who's going to take me?
Yeah, you know, for me at the combine, that was Coach Harbaugh, and he just really reiterated to me, like, you know, one of the most important things he sees is the offensive line, how he sees it's kind of what fuels the offense and what it runs with. So, you know, that interview was very important. And it went really well, and I thought, you know, I put my best foot forward there. And then I actually had a 30 visit with the Titans, was able to go see their facility and talk with both Coach Brian Callahan and Coach Bill Callahan. And that was a great experience for me, especially with Coach Bill Callahan, just kind of talking offensive line play. He, you know, explains it very black and white, tells you exactly what he wants. And, you know, that allows me to really understand what he wants, and then it's really easy to, you know, dissect film and, you know, see what you did wrong or what you want to do better the next time, and, you know, really grow as a player and get better faster, I think. So both those interviews went really well, and, you know, I'd be very excited at either place.
Joe Alt joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline this morning as he gets ready for the draft coming up on Thursday night. Joe, when you look at the teams that are up there and may pick you, there's so many different options. I've seen everything. You know, every team has a different scenario. Do you look at teams and think, you know, this is a situation I like? I like this idea that maybe there's a great quarterback that I can protect, or a new quarterback that I can get to know. There's guys that I can learn from versus maybe there's not as many guys that I can learn from. Do you look at situations in your head and think, and you don't have to give me team names, but look at situations and think, you know what, this is a place where I could really fit well and my career could start off right?
Yeah, you know, this is an interesting draft where there's multiple different teams who are looking at offensive tackles, and some teams have guys who have solidified roles and who are playing, and, you know, it'd be, you know, coming in and learning from them and kind of getting experience and kind of having them teach you and hopefully take me under their wing. And there's other places where, like you said, you know, new quarterbacks, you know, quarterbacks who are solidified, but they need an offensive tackle to go in and play right away. So they're both really exciting, you know, and they're different in their own ways, but it'd be exciting to do both. Obviously, I'd love to learn. So, you know, learning from a veteran who really knows the game well would be, you know, really great for me. Also, if it means I go somewhere I got to play right away, I'd be really excited to do that and, you know, try to go out there and, you know, put my best foot forward, succeed at the, you know, play the best I can each and every snap. So both options are really exciting for me, and I think it'd be, a blast either one.
Joe, how about the opportunity? I saw this the other day, and I was just enamored by it, but the opportunity for working with USAA, and tell us a little bit about that ride in that helicopter.
Yeah, you know, I partnered with USAA before the draft and was able to go out to Selfridge Air National Air Base in Detroit and got to meet a whole bunch of military members, and, you know, military is very important to my family. I had two grandfathers who both served in the Army. So that was kind of why, like, deep down why I wanted to go do it. And, you know, a little plus was we got to fly in a Blackhawk helicopter up over Detroit and over the draft site. And, you know, I think it's probably one of the biggest core memories I have. I took a lot of mental imagery when I was up in that helicopter. It was super cool experience, and I really was grateful for the opportunity because I had so much fun that day.
Joe, throughout this process, and I know you probably met with all, if not most, of the teams, and I know that a lot's being made of, you know, what do guys get asked and what do you talk about. What, and don't give us you don't have to give us a team name, but what is the most bizarre, craziest thing you've been asked or asked about throughout this whole combine to draft process?
Yeah, there was one interview at the combine where we were just kind of finishing up, and the GM asked me, he goes, "So you're kind of a goody two shoes, huh? You haven't had any military, or not military, any police troubles, or, you know, been in jail?" I'm like, "No, not that I can think of. I haven't really done much." He's like, "Ah, oh, so you're one of those goody two shoes type." I'm like, "I guess. I mean, you want me to go commit a crime or something? I don't. That's not, you know, my background. If you want me to, I guess I can, but no, that's not me." So that was probably the funniest or weirdest, you know, question I got asked in an interview.
Hey, Joe, how about just last year you had Sam Hartman join the team, right? And it's just for a kind of a one and done. And tell us a little bit about that and how that experience was. And should Sam be getting talked about more as far as being a quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah, Sam, I think, is one of the most league-ready quarterbacks I've ever met. He came into Notre Dame and, you know, knew that he was coming into a foreign environment, but he came in ready to work, and I think that's what kind of why me and his relationship really, you know, was on a great foot to start. He came in being the hardest worker in the room, earning respect by not his voice, but being in the film room, being in the building longer than anybody on the team, putting the time in. And then through that, you know, I noticed him, and then he's like, "Hey, you know, how do you look at things?" So we really had a great relationship. I think he prepares better than any quarterback I've ever met in my entire life, knowing exactly the game plan, knowing how to lead an offense in a huddle and on the field pre-snap. I think he's an awesome quarterback, and, you know, selfishly, I think he should be talked about a lot better because, you know, I think he's a heck of a player. I've seen what he's done, and I think, I'm really excited to see where he goes. I think he's going to have a bright future ahead of him.
It's the voice of Joe Alt on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Joe, last one for me. There's a lot of teams interested. It's probably a long shot, but certainly the Vikings could use some offensive line help. What's the thought on the possibility of playing in your hometown? I mean, there's goods and bads, and everyone has their opinion. But what are your thoughts? Is that something you've thought about?
Yeah, I know I have. It'd obviously be, you know, super exciting to be able to stay home and be close to people who I love, my family, being there to support me. It'd be obviously something that I really enjoy, being able to stay close to where I'm from and kind of know the area. Would be super exciting, you know, being able to go into an environment where, you know, they have two tackles who have a lot of experience, who have played at a high level. Being able to learn from them would be, you know, something that I would really, you know, take advantage of and try to learn from them because they play at the highest level. So it'd be a really exciting opportunity.
Well, Joe, I'll tell you what, we're excited for you because, you know, your family's just unbelievable athletes and great people. And you obviously have stood up strong like you were talking about. You don't have anything going on in the jails locally down there in Notre Dame. So that's probably a very good thing as well. But thank you so much, man. We really appreciate you taking the time. And we're so excited for you, your family. Please say hi to your mother and father for me.
Will do. Thank you guys for your time. I really appreciate it.
Joe, thanks so much. Really nice to chat with you. Appreciate the time, buddy.
Thank you.
Well, best of luck to Joe this week. What a phenomenal young man. Any team that gets him is clearly, as you heard from this conversation, a lucky team because not only is he good on the field, but he's clearly smart, carries himself well as well. Mm-hmm. That's going to do it for us today. We will talk more about NFL draft next week. I am sure there will be no shortage of topics, Pete. For now, we'll see you then. Have a great week, everybody.
See you guys.